Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Romans 12, 17. Never retaliate, pay back evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12, 17. Never retaliate, pay back evil for evil, provide things honoreth as the sight of all men. Romans 12, 17. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Children, please stand for our Bible class. We open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5.
Sorry.
We open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. It is wonderful for us to be here today. This is a magnificent time for us, once again, to open our hearts and minds to the eternal truths of God's Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility as believers not to be negative to the Word of God, because we realize that when we are negative to truth, we have frustrated and confused souls. The reason for our being here again today is to open the Bible, open God's wonderful Word, find ourselves in proper relationship to Jesus Christ, and move through these magnificent truths found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize how wonderful it is for us today to be here, to realize how great and magnificent the grace of God is to all of us. We're saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace. We thank you for your matchless grace. We thank you for the opportunity which is ours as a family to turn our attention to these wonderful verses. Though startling and challenging, we're aware of the fact that every word of God is absolutely essential for us. And so we pray that we will understand that no matter where we are, as we open this magnificent book, that you have a message for us. Help us to be desirous always to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will guide us in these moments today of study. We thank you for your grace and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. In the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, We have been analyzing and studying these wonderful verses. We're going to read again today, beginning with verse 1, read down through a number of verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Let me read again those words, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. The King James Version, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Verse 5, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." I've already shared with you the fact that when you begin the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, you will discover that you can be reading along and all of a sudden it seems that the Spirit of God and the Word of God just slaps us in the face with words we were not expecting to hear. What is interesting to me is to know that when this happens to us, there's a purpose and a reason for us having these words. You'll notice that we've looked and analyzed the first verses. And then when you go down to verse 3, it says, "But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints." When I look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, I am amazed. We've analyzed it in the past, and we come again to look at it, and we discover that there are some important words found in Ephesians 5, 3. I'm going to put these on the screen for you to be able to see, because they are startling indeed. When I look at Ephesians 5 and verse 3, I notice that it begins like this: "But fornication and uncleanness or insatiableness, let it not be once named among you." I'm giving you time this morning to take a look with me at words that I hesitated to even bring in the proclamation of the Scripture. But I've concluded that it's here, and so there's a reason for it being here. And as a result of that, I would be doing you an injustice. I would be doing the Word of God an injustice. I'll be unfair as a minister of the Word of God if I didn't just continue looking at this Scripture. Ephesians 5:3 gives us these important words. I put the words on the screen for you to see. When I put back the Scripture, you'll be able to see them more in detail. The first word that is presented here is the Greek word pornos, P-O-R-N-O-S, and is translated whoremonger. The next word that is given to us is the word unclean, which is A-K-A-T-H-A-R-T-O-S. It is the Greek word akathosia, unclean. The next word that is used here in this verse is the word greeting, which is pleonexia or pleonektes. The last word is the word idolater. In the second service today, we're going to be emphasizing that particular word. Please notice, if you will, again, Ephesians 5:3. And uncleanness or insatiableness, let it not be once named among you. Last Wednesday night, we emphasized the word insatiableness. And I gave you the statement that when I first came to that word from the original text, I was convinced that I should put on the screen what I'm going to put on the screen now. Insatiableness. No. Because when I analyzed the word insatiableness, I realized that it has the meaning of urgency, the meaning of craving, the meaning of hunger, the meaning of longing, the meaning of eagerness. And then I realized, when I said insatiableness, no, that I should also be saying insatiableness, yes. And I mentioned this last Wednesday night, just briefly. On the screen, I want you to see why I put these words up and then made an addition. Insatiableness, no. All the things that are mentioned here in a negative way. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that God is saying to us, take a look at these things, all these various facets, and make a decision in your life that you will say no to these negative things that relate to us in such a fashion that we will have a confused and frustrated soul. But when I looked at this in great detail, I changed it and I put it down as you see it on the screen. Insatiableness, yes. And the reason I'm saying that is because I want to show you what I believe would keep us from being negative and from having a frustrated soul. There are many people today, I believe, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who waste a tremendous amount of time, God-given time, that would allow them to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to travel the upward highway and find themselves comfortable in the plan and purpose of God for their individual lives. When I look at this word insatiableness, I see then that God desires that we have not a negative soul, not a frustrated soul, but that we have an insatiable hunger and a desire for the plan of God for our individual lives. As I look out over this auditorium, I'm aware of the fact today that there are individuals sitting here and you have been born into God's kingdom. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Heaven is your eternal home. And you have some life on this earth today. And we do not know how many more days you and I will have. But whatever amount of time God gives us, it is a revelation to us that God has a reason and a purpose and a plan for our existence. As a result of that, each individual has to make a decision whether or not we're going to have an insatiable hunger, an insatiable desire for God's plan and the Word of God to saturate our thinking. When I look at this verse, here's what I see. It says, and I go back to the verse again, but fornication, that's negative. Uncleanness, that can be negative or positive. Let it not once be named, if it's negative, among you, as is fitting for saints. What we have in today's world is that often individuals have frustrated souls. And the reason why, as believers, they have frustrated souls is that they are either naive or they are negative to the truth of God's Word. As a result of that, what happens is that that results in what we would classify as apostasy. I'm going to ask you a quick question and let you think about it for just a few seconds. If I would ask you to give a definition for the word apostasy, what would you say? Apostasy. Let me give you an answer. Apostasy defined. It is some form of rejection. It is some form of rejection of God's message. Apostasy actually means some form of rejection of God's message. It could be that the person would be naive. It could be that the person is actually non-perceptive to the truth of God. And that would result in apostasy. Apostasy defined as some form of rejection of God's message. Now we must see number two, apostasy and carnality are different. Just as is spirituality and maturity are different. I'm leaving that on the screen because I want you, please, if you will place these words indelibly in your thinking, that's fine. If for some reason you don't think that you'll be able to remember it, I would just encourage you to write down these words. Apostasy and carnality are different. Just as is spirituality and maturity different. Before we get into discussion about this, let me ask you a question again. Are you able to see the difference between apostasy on the one hand in relationship to carnality and the difference between apostasy and carnality? Let's look at number three. An apostate is a non-perceptive believer. I say it deliberately and intentionally and on purpose again. An apostate is a non-perceptive believer. We're talking about believers. We're talking about the fact that believers can be either perceptive or non-perceptive. This is an emphasis upon the difference between apostasy on the one hand and carnality on the other hand. They're different. An apostate person is a non-perceptive believer, naturally out of tune and out of harmony with God and the Word of God. You and I have the responsibility of seeing the difference between our lives being right with God or not right with God as a believer in Jesus Christ. We have to understand that we can be either apostate or we can be carnal. Apostasy and carnality are different, just as is spirituality and maturity different. Number three again, an apostate is a non-perceptive, naturally out of harmony, out of tune with God and the Word of God. Number four, carnality is the state of an otherwise perceptive believer out of harmony and out of fellowship. Let's pause for a moment and let you think with me about what is being said. You and I have the responsibility of seeing ourselves on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, our relationship to our Savior Jesus Christ. We must be able to check ourselves to see if we would be classified as an apostate individual or a carnal individual. Carnality is the state of an otherwise perceptive believer, but not in fellowship with Jesus Christ. On the other hand, number five, spirituality is an absolute state whereby the Holy Spirit controls the soul of each born-again believer. What is amazing to me is that many people don't understand the difference between carnality and spirituality. They do not and have not come to the conclusion and have not been able to comprehend or see what it means to be non-perceptive on the one hand or carnal on the other hand. A believer who is perceptive to God's Word can still find himself, herself, out of harmony, out of fellowship. And this simply means that when you and I move out of fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we move under the control of our old sinful natures. And the old sinful nature then is in charge. And we're not fulfilling the plan of God for our lives. On the other hand, a perceptive believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, under the control of the Spirit and the Word of God, finds himself, herself, in what we would classify as a state of absolute rightness. Spirituality, then, is an absolute state whereby the Holy Spirit controls the soul of the believer. Carnality, number six, is an absolute state wherein a person is out of harmony and out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pause for a moment to let you think with me about an absolute state. We can let this fly over us like water on a duck's back and not really be able to comprehend what is being said. I need to interrupt your thinking right now to tell you that when you study the life of Jesus Christ, you will discover that there's a relationship of Jesus Christ with some individuals who are disciples, are followers, who will become eventually the disciples that you and I know in the New Testament. What is so interesting is that when you study the life of Jesus Christ, you're going to study a lot of different aspects in relationship to the trials of Jesus Christ, to the individuals related to him, all the various facets in relationship to our Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, incarnation, while Jesus Christ walked on this earth. And the scripture tells us in the book of John that the disciples were not comprehending and had not fully comprehended the fact of what had been said in the Old Testament, what Jesus Christ himself said, that he would die and rise from the grave. And the scripture has a statement that says that these individuals did not know, they did not comprehend what had been said. And I pause to shock you for a few moments to let you see that it is possible for you and for me as a believer in Jesus Christ to come to a point where we are not comprehending and understanding what God's Word actually says. Out of harmony, out of fellowship, not comprehending the truth. And as a result of that, we are classified as naive. We're classified as negative. We are classified as individuals who then, as a result of that condition, have a frustrated and perplexed and bewildered soul. Carnality is an absolute state wherein a person is out of fellowship, out of harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come back to the subject of apostasy. Apostasy is then a related state of spiritual failure of the believer due to the presence of evil in his, her life. And then we have to stop for a moment to take a look at the subject of evil. Evil is the philosophy, the policy, the design, the thought pattern of Satan, specifically aimed at the soul of the individual. What you and I must come to realize is that we as born-again believers in Jesus Christ have a responsibility to live our lives inside of the divine power sphere. We can choose to do that on a day-by-day basis, or we can choose to be in and out and find ourselves so frustrated with life. And I'm sorry to have to tell you that there are many people today who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they live a life that is a life of frustration, a life of bewilderment, a life of consistent unhappiness. And it's all because of the fact that they've made a decision moment by moment to find themselves moving outside of the divine power sphere and under the control of their old sinful nature. You and I must realize that evil is satanic thinking. You and I must realize that if we are under the control of our sinful natures, we're going to see things from a horizontal human viewpoint. What I want you to see here is that God designed us as believers to be able to see from a vertical, divine viewpoint. I'm pausing for a few moments to tell you something that I feel like you need to hear. There are subjects, as I said last Wednesday night, that I feel like that the pastor has a responsibility of looking at in the Word of God and making a decision of whether or not that information should be given. I call it sensitive subjects. The subject that I'm going to be dealing with on this coming Wednesday night is a sensitive subject. It is one that I believe every person needs to hear, and especially every person who is 13 years of age and older. There's a reason why we have Bible classes as we have them in this church. Over the years, we have taught, and our teachers have been outstanding in teaching little children. And there are certain things that the teachers who are qualified to do, they're able to teach children that are young, because they're not now advanced enough to come into this auditorium and be able to listen attentively and carefully and comprehend the information on certain types of subjects. Many of those may be even sensitive subjects. There's a reason why our church has the method and the means by which we have in teaching. And I'm aware of the fact that when anyone chooses to come into this auditorium, they make a decision to hear the proclamation of the Word of God. And sometimes there are some subjects that will be, to their ears, very sensitive subjects, but they have to listen anyway because they've chosen to be here in this auditorium. I'm convinced that the Word of God is so magnificent and powerful in relationship to His plan for individuals, and especially young people, in relationship to God's plan, in relationship to the subject of marriage and intimacy. It is a wonderful subject indeed, and we will deal with it this Wednesday night. It's something that every person 13 years of age and older ought to listen to attentively and carefully. Evil is satanic thinking. And there's tremendous amount of satanic thinking that's going on in our world today. Television, radio, shows, newspaper, conversations that go on with individuals today. So much of it is satanic thinking, human viewpoint. And people are talking and people are hearing and they're not getting divine vertical viewpoint. Apostasy is a relative state of spiritual failure of the believer due to the presence of the fact that there is so much satanic thinking in our world today. It's the philosophy, it's the policy, it's the design, it's the thought pattern of Satan. It is specifically aimed at believers, and especially so often our young people. Number 8, the carnal believer is the perceptive believer, perceptive to God's message, or can be. But the apostate is the one rejecting, and rejecting perpetually, rebelling to the proclamation of the truth of God. You probably noticed the subject for today. You probably even wondered about it if you noticed the subject. What do I find here? I find an emphasis upon those who are negative. And then I emphasize the fact that many believers as negative have discovered that they live a life of frustration and confusion and bewilderment. And that's so sad. Number 9, the carnal believer can be restored immediately by means of 1 John 1:9. The apostate, however, normally has such a saturation and pollution of satanic thinking, evil, in the soul, that many times it takes many, many years of faithfully hearing God's truth to move away from satanic thinking. I thought about it in relationship to our church and how God has blessed us over these many years. I thought about it about my life. It's hard for me to believe that God has been so good to me to let me get to the point where I am now 87 years of age, having preached 70 years, having been married to a wonderful person 65 years, having been the pastor of this church in now in our 44th year. What am I telling you? I'm telling you I am so extremely thankful. And I'm thankful that God is letting me still breathe and be able to get up and go to my desk and have you in mind as I study and commit myself to the study of these magnificent truths of His Word. And I'm aware of the fact that sometimes you may get tired of my emphasis on these Greek words and the conjugation of these verbs. But I want you to understand that this is God's Word. And every word, no matter what verse we're in, is extremely powerful and important. An apostate is a person who is consistently influenced by evil, satanic thinking. Believe it or not, number 11. The grace-abounding believer, the grace-abounding life, has been classified by this pulpit as the high road of God's magnificent grace. It's a relative state whereby the Word of God has a maximum influence on the believer's life. One of the things that you've noticed over the years is what we do is ask you to go to the next verse. And when we finish a particular book, we ask you to go to the next book. That's been our plan through the years. Because we believe that no matter how at times we become carnal as believers, we have a desire to grow and advance. The grace abounding life, the high road of God's grace, is a relative state whereby the Word of God has maximum influence on our individual lives. 12. On the other hand, an apostate believer is a person walking in life with an emptiness. I say that with a sadness in my heart because I'm aware of the fact that many believers have deliberately and intentionally and on purpose have chosen not to advance and not to grow. Many people have come into this auditorium and they haven't been willing to listen with an open mind and open heart in fellowship with the Lord while the Word of God is being preached. Many people have a lot of things going on in their minds, and I'm aware of the fact, but my responsibility is to communicate God's Word to perceptive individuals, to individuals who desire to advance, to individuals who desire not to have a frustrated and confused and perplexed soul. Truth is always positive. A person who is negative to God's truth is always positive to evil. Did you see that sentence? A person who is negative, non-perceptive, even to the point of naivete, a person who is negative to God's truth is always at the same time positive to satanic thinking. We either have God's thinking or we have satanic thinking. We're either going to be the recipient of continuous importation of truth that saturates the soul so that the soul will not be frustrated or confused and see from a vertical divine viewpoint. Truth of God's Word is so powerful. A person who is negative to God's truth is always positive to satanic thinking. Notice, if you will, what I put here for you. Not an emphasis upon demon possession. The whole wonderful Word of God in the New Testament deals with the subject of demon possession. But we're talking here not about demon possession, but demon influence. Insatiableness to these negative things? No, no, no. Insatiableness to those things which will give comfort and strength and power to your soul. Yes, yes. May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact today that you're challenging our hearts not to have naivety, not to have negative attitudes toward truths, but to have an insatiable hunger, a desire, an eagerness to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, that we will have a life of happiness and joy and peace and contentment. We thank you that you provided everything we need for this kind of a life. As we come now to the last moments of this service, we're aware of the fact that there are people listening today, perhaps who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This will be a wonderful time for them to do that. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we are thankful that as this message goes out, There are individuals who can pray that simple prayer and have eternal life as a result of fulfilling God's plan when He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, that was a surprise. Oh, look at that.